Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the international radio personality, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith.
Life issue, the political side
the economic side and all the unrest is there. But we're going to focus on some sports now because we got some hot topics tonight. I'm really excited to be able to come before you. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Let me do this because a lot of people figure when they call in, they have to talk. You can just listen to the show. That's an opportunity to listen to the show through the call-in number. Now, if you want to check the show out by intranet, call WeldLink. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Wave Production. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Wave Production. Then you can just grab back in your recliner and check us out via internet. So I'm so excited to have that opportunity. We're also being broadcast by Facebook. And I thank each and every one of those individuals joining us on Facebook. And if you want to check us out on Facebook, that's facebook.com/DR. This is Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. Then you can just slide over here to our most important players, which is Instagram as well. You know, IG, you can check us out on IG. And that's Coach Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith 15. You know, I'm so excited to have. Now, you can also check the show out if you want to just come back later on. If it's later on tonight, you can go on demand episode and you can go to the web link and you can listen to all of the shows that have been produced by the Smith Wave Production Company, all the ones that's been aired all the way back to 2017. So we're really excited about being here again. This is what? Hump Day. Wonderful Wednesday. Just think about it that way. It's Wonderful Wednesday. All Wednesday, all the things that are going on in the world. We have the COVID-19. We see our numbers. They're spiking. We got 18, 19, 20 states. They're trying to rethink the reopening version of what they're trying to do. It's because their numbers are spiking so fast, we don't know what to do. So what we want to do is we're going to enlighten things. We're going to talk about some things and see how COVID-19 is changing sports. But we're going to talk about some things dealing with the Power Five, the NFL, as well as looking at our historical black colleges and universities, then definitely talk a little high school sports. Now, we also want to give you an opportunity to tweet the show, and you do have that chance. You can go to @TalkingSportsPlus with the number one, @LorenzaDSmith, @ElliottDarrell, the number one, @TremaineEdward, the number seven, and @Coach_L_Smith, and coaches with a K. Those are the ways you communicate with us, and we look forward to having you with us tonight. We want you to share your point of view now. You can make it a lot better for us if you just call in. If you call in at 347-857-4192, then just press 1, and I'll make sure we get you on the chat line and share your expertise by calling out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. We have several people joining us on Facebook. Thank you so much, as well as Instagram, and the board is filling up as well through Blog Talk Radio. So it's going to be awesome tonight. And our title for the show tonight is America Sports in Crisis. You know, the world is in crisis. COVID-19 and social unrest. That's America Sports in Crisis, COVID-19, and social unrest. And we just want to talk about that now. I have one of the co-hosts on here, and I want to kind of introduce him last since he's available right now. We have 5 to 6 other individuals that volunteer their time, and it is by volunteering their time. Hales from South Alabama. He's our radio personality. And we're so glad to have him. He hails from the Florida line all, and he travels up to Montgomery, from Montgomery to Troy, down to Dothan, and he stops off at Top, Alabama, none other than Darryl, the conductor of the E-Train, Elliott. He joins us from time to time. We thank you so much for doing that, Darryl. He calls in and offers his point of view. Also from South Central Alabama, a retiree. We'll say 2 years in the making now, July 31st, matter of fact, coming up, our high school expert, none other than Coach Tony Stallworth. We call him Touchdown Tony Stallworth. Also, we have our 2 millennials, and one of them is a young lady. She's a lady of ours, and we're so glad to have her joining us. And I talked with her earlier, and she said she has a job now, and she's going to school and she's going to get a job and trying to do some things. We're going to do our best to try to be on the show. None other than my daughter. So glad to have her when she's joining us. That's Coach Lauren D. Smith. She's the millennial, one of the millennial, and she's the lady of the house. And the other millennial, young man that's working in Central Alabama as a coach, technology man, none other than Coach Gilmer. And last but not least, this young man is on the line now. So glad to have him on. We've been teaming up, duo, for several weeks now because we run this show every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And I'm so proud of him. He's living and residing now up in North Alabama. So glad to have him. He's a coach up there at one of the middle schools. He was at Chapman Middle School, and he's what we call our version of a true king. He has five to six, and I'm mistaken, he'll correct me, girls basketball championship in the middle school division, three or four in boys basketball in the middle school division, and he's right there along with the football, and there's two championships along with that. None other than our king, Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach?
Doing great, Dr. Smith. Doing great tonight, man. How you doing tonight, Dr. Smith?
Man, if it was any better, then I had to give everybody my hand. And that, I don't know whether they want my hand or not, but it's awesome. Awesome to be here, brother. Appreciate you for joining us. We got a great night we're going to talk about. This is Wonderful Wednesday. And I wanted to share something before I get into what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to kind of do a little things different. I'm going to give those individuals that's joining us for some. Sometimes they join us and they drop off and they come back. We have from out of the state of Georgia, we have Tony Rudolph. Thank you, Tony, one of my frat brothers, Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. And out of the state of Louisiana, we have the author who was on our show, author Nicole Brown, a member of Zeta Phi Beta sorority. Then we also have V. Hendrix joining us as well. Thank you, V. Hendrix, for joining us. On Facebook, we have Portia Phoenix, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We have Andre Renz Wing Brinson, a member of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. Now, one of my former students that's joining me from McKenzie, thank you so much, Earl Presley. That's been a Coach Earl back in the 80s, and I appreciate Earl joining us and keeping up with Coach. I thank you so much because hopefully in the next year or so we will have a reunion down there that we can come back for. In 1991, we won the first state championship for McKenzie High School in football. Earl had graduated, but still he was still, because that's his school, and he played football and basketball. We have Marvin Lala Smith. Marvin was on earlier during the midday hour, the lunch hour. He was doing his gospel show, and I said, thank you, Marvin. I typed it in. I'll be checking him out, and I thank him because he checked us out as well. That's Marvin Lala Smith. Also, we have joining us as well several other people here. Tyree Hall. Thank you, Tyree, for joining us. I'm going to say, looking here, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Give that shout out. We have is this LaDedra Wilson. Thank you, LaDedra. And Tabitha Jenkins, thank you for joining. All right, Coach, let's get this thing started. You know, we're talking about COVID-19 and social unrest. I want to first go to our coach's corner and talk about the University of Alabama football team voicing their support for Black Lives Matter movement. And there was some discussion that leaked over into a town where a mayor was being negative toward what they was doing, and he decided, you know, some harsh words toward the University of Alabama and Nick Saban, and they asked him to resign. Coach, can you share your thoughts on it? What do you think about it? We're talking about not only COVID-19, but social unrest, and we're addressing the Black Lives Movement. Most universities and football teams and basketball teams and coaches and presidents are doing things. to let them know we're supporting the movement and we're trying to make sure we get a clear understanding, and we must work together. No longer we can just work separately. We have to work together. Coach, what you think about that situation with the University of Alabama doing that video clip on the Black Lives Movement? Several of the football players, as well as the coach, did it. What's your thoughts on that, Coach Edwards?
Big time, Dr. Smith. I was talking to one of my partners the other day about that. The backlash will be personal for certain peoples, but the gratitude, the comrades, the what you get is going to be big. As Nick Saban is seeing right now, he has flipped three kids, Dr. Smith. I don't know if you've been watching it, but some top-tier athletes have been flipped from schools that they were committed to come to Alabama right now. The BLM movement, that was a big push, because to be in a state like Alabama, Republican state, known for football, but not known for a coach standing up for it as he did. That was real big. As far as, you know, for the minorities, the black people, that was big. That was big for him to come on there to join Alice Leatherwood and join them and in the movement. Matt Jones on the video talking. A lot of guys, Hawaiian kids, a lot of guys on there talking. That's big time, man. It is a recruiting tactic. He will get guys from that video showing them that they care. He don't care then about what other folks say that's in the state. Like he said, that man can say whatever. Y'all ain't got a cheer for us, but I know I'm going to have a million more still cheering. So it's not a big deal. Like we say, one apple does not spoil the whole bunch. I say that. We're going to throw that apple away, and we're going to keep them bunches together and roll on for them. But like you said, if they show their true color, if they were so dependent on a white guy or you know, Nick Saban being like that, he's not. He can't be like that. For him to compete, you got to have a little mix in there, Dr. Smith. And that's not saying have all black athletes. You got to have a mixture in there. So with Saban doing that, that was a great recruiting tactic. He's supporting the movement. It's a big plus for Alabama. With the COVID, I'm still in mixed emotions about it. I don't understand how we're spiking like we are, and statewide mandatory masks are not still implicated on it. That doesn't make sense to me. I was in a store today where the workers in the store didn't have on their masks, but it's not a mask guidance that's telling them they have to wear it. So it's being Dr. Snow. Just dealing with the situation. And like they're saying, you know, them people up there fussing about, you know, bringing football students. It's about bringing normalcy. We need normalcy in our streets. We need normalcy in our schools. This is going to be a new approach for the school year. They don't know what to do, everybody everywhere. So it's guidance. We don't have any guidance from the people that are making the book to give this guidance. They aren't giving guidance. They're giving guidance that a normal person can take. They give you the smallest amount possible. I'm going to tell you a guideline. You stick by this guideline. You can twerk it any way you want to. But it's a long way to go, and I still don't think we understand this virus as a result, because like they're saying at the Trump rally, I'm looking at people in this Trump rally that had on masks. So what's going on with that? You see what I'm saying, Dr. Smith? And for them to say everyone in there, I think it needs to be an experiment. So this year, and I said this to one of my partners today, I said this year you might need to bring the athletes, the football athletes, to the school and separate them from everyone and see what's going on. And it almost needs to be like an experiment, Dr. Smith. It needs to be documented. Everything medical needs to be documented to see how this virus is getting in here. It's got to be, because us just taking temperatures and testing that moment is not enough. If it gets thin on them and they're separated from the public and no one had it when they came in, I feel like we need to shut everything down again, Dr. Smith, until we figure this thing out. Because I'm honestly thinking we think we got it figured out and we don't. Because that Trump rally just showed you. They up there taking temperatures and everything. Some people ain't have a temperature, but the disease got in there. It got in there. I don't know if somebody let it loose in there or whatnot, but they're testing positive. So I don't know if it's a host or what. We'll see. But other than that, Dr. Smith, that's all I got.
And Coach is sharing a couple things with you, and we're going to talk about all of that as well, because it's affecting the way we're going to be looking at this fall. And one thing I'll say about getting back to the normal, we'll never get back to the normal, but it'll be a new normalcy. And that's what we have to put in our mind, where you might have to wear a mask. You might have to social distance yourself from other individuals, even in the next 6 months, the next year. And we have to keep it in mind. But just to go back to what the situation with the University of Alabama and the mayor over in one of those towns, and I'm not going to call the name of the town or the mayor over there in West Alabama, Northwest Alabama. I want everybody to kind of relate, and I think history is so important when we're talking about how things occurred. And I'm going to touch on something as far as back as when I was a young person to a point where I started a job. And one of the players is on here that's on the line. He may remember this. But I'm going to go back to just remember when we, at one time, it was segregation. We had our black school, had our white school. Had our black neighborhood, had our white neighborhood. We had black colleges and universities playing. We had black high schools. We had white high schools. And during that time, the University of Alabama under Bear Bryant was where he coached segregated teams, one of the most well-known coaches of all time. He had to adjust. And he's adjusted because other places had stepped out of segregation and moved to integration. We're talking about integration was truly put into law that operated in 1968. A lot of us said, what? But some of your parents can tell about that. 1968, when the schools started changing, when your school became integrated, and the University of Alabama moved toward integration in 1970. So to see how the University of Alabama have moved in a direction, is moving now to the point to have a coach who now saying that we're going to support, we're going to give the greatest effort for Black Lives Matter in the movement, and want my players, because you're going to have to, because the players now have a sense of power now. Their power is that if you don't do it, we'll stop practicing. We'll stop playing for you. So coaches will realize that if you're ready to adjust the time, you're way to be able to do that. So we got to remember, we're looking at when Bear Bryant, one of the greatest coaches of all time at the University of Alabama, through segregation, he got up into integration, to Nick Saban, who's now in what we got, I don't even call it a post, but we're in a whole different time at this point that we must move towards dealing with systemic racism, dealing with inequality, injustice. We have to deal with something. We in 2020, we should be moved way beyond, but you can see how far we come. But we have to have individuals have it in their heart to see change, regardless of what color you are or what race you are. You have to have it in your heart. And now we're finding out with that mayor what's truly in his heart. With that mayor over there in Northwest Alabama, he's no longer going to support the University of Alabama just for doing this video or supporting the Black Lives Movement. A lot of more people are like that. That's the only way we can begin to grow it. I want everybody to hear me very well, that people have to show what's in their heart. If you're able to educate them expose them to some things that may give them an understanding, that would be great for what we're trying to do. But as long as they're quiet and not saying anything, we are not seeing how their heart is. We have to know where their heart is. Because, you know, your mind, you know, somebody say, I make a mistake, blame it on mine, not on my heart. His heart was shown. Several other people's hearts been shown. So what we have to do is make sure we address that. Now, let me get to a little bit of modern time in between the point of what happened with the Black Lives Movement and coming out of segregation to integration. I was hired as a football coach, and I became the first Black football coach, Kinzie High School. That's why I say the player would recognize this, because at the time there was some unrest, social unrest between the Blacks and the whites. And they had a Caucasian head coach, a white head coach, and they needed a Black coach to come in. And God sent me there. My number was called to go there and make a difference. And God blessed us to grow through those years to the point that we were playing together, we came together and did all those things. But that was my experience, feeling like I made a difference. And I'm saying this because one of these players that's on Facebook was graduated early, I believe, in either 88, 89, somewhere around. So when I got there, he probably was in by that 10th grade, 9th or 10th grade. And he knew what the unrest was. He knew the brawling and the fighting between the two races. And I was brought in for that. So I'm sharing where I went from segregation to integration to being in the 80s and being exposed to that, to knowing that people's heart had to change. And people's heart changed enough that we're going to have to bring in a Black, all these, that's where the Black players said, we want a Black coach, because we've been coaching all these white coaches, we've been playing for all these white, and I was the first one, my number was called. It was the best experience of my life. So I'm trying to tell you, your heart has to change. And until individual heart changes, we will be still fighting the battle for success, fighting the battle so we can have justice and equality. The hearts have to change. So I want to share that in relation to the University of Alabama and to my own personal experience. So Black Lives Matter, we know it, and we want to make sure we do everything. If you're working with somebody of another race, another culture, they can share what's in their culture and within their heart, and you can share. That's how we're going to have to. We must talk. Then we have to listen. All right, Coach, we're going to kind of speed this up because we want to make sure we get all it in and all we need to get in an hour. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the chat line. You can share your experience, your expertise, and anything you encounter where you have seen individual heart changes from understanding what you're going through. Also, on Facebook, facebook.com, DRL, D'Alberto Smith. You go to my page and you can be a part of this, as well as Instagram. So let's make this thing happen, Coach. We're going to kind of move, still in this area of social unrest. We hadn't got to COVID-19. Coach shared some things. We're going to get back and talk about other things, how it's affected historical Black colleges, university, how it's really affecting colleges in general. We talked more last week about that. Coach, should Roger Goodell or NFL owners apologize to Colin Kaepernick? Do you think Roger Goodell should be the one apologize, or the NFL owners? And I'm going to get started off with this. Go ahead, Coach. If you want to come on, Coach, come on in, and I'll follow up. I'll follow up.
All right, I'm going to just touch it a little. In a way, in a sense, yes, I think it should, because this guy got blackballed for a statement he was making to what's going on now in the world. It's a shame that it takes for somebody to be murdered for you to get your point across. When this point was trying to be made 2 and 3 years before the situation was happening.
Exactly.
Before the situation happened.
And to add a little bit more to that, Coach, if you will, and I want everybody to keep in mind, we're talking about three years ago when Colin Kaepernick took the knee and several individuals followed, but you want to back it up three more years. 2013, Black Lives Matter movement was founded by young African-American ladies, young ladies, that saw we needed change. It didn't take hold then. It didn't take hold 4 years ago, but it did take for the world to see the murder of George Floyd to kind of get everybody reacting and realize that this is going on. Now, getting back to whether Roger Goodell or Huber, the owners should apologize. Now, Roger Goodell works for the owners. Roger Goodell can apologize and say that he didn't realize what was going on. Still, you have to remember that still a division, that a part we need to make sure can step out. One of the things that's been shared by pundits and talking heads throughout the shows that comes on, sports shows, is no owner is stepping out and saying very much. Yeah, they put Roger Goodell out there to say something, but and fine, that made it safety. I call it was a safety net for other Caucasian or white players to speak out. Because before, even though you may have not liked the way he came out, but Drew Brees did it, and they castrated him. And that's a hard word to believe, but he was, because he didn't focus on black lives. He talked about the flag. And that's what the conversation was about three years ago, talking about the flag, dishonoring the flag. And Colin Kaepernick was trying to get them to see, even back to 2013, with the organization of the Black Lives Movement, the young ladies, they wanted you to see that injustice was going on. Police brutality was going on. So the point was, we're seeing individuals, as a leader, can step out. The leader that you put, that you hired to put out, can say it, but it will not give the understanding and the process of healing to those individuals that serving as owners. Those 32 owners needs to speak out as well, because we got to find out what's in their heart. They are billionaires. Let's find out what's in their heart. Systemic racism. Come on now. It's talking about in education and business. We've been kept. So the owners made all that money. Are they willing to step out? The Black Lives Movement can move a lot faster, if not just only Roger Goodell, but the owners. The owners for the NBA. Mark Cuban, he's one of them. He's doing it. The Dallas Mavericks. He's out there stepping out. He's showing himself, but none of those owners. And I personally believe that the owners of these 32 NFL teams need to be able to all put their message together. They don't send Roger Goodell out there. Let one of you all go out there and speak and share and do videos and do support. Don't say it's all right for everybody else to do it. We need them, because we got to help everybody in this to change this discrimination, change this racism. And that's the way I see it in regard. Coach, you want to add anything to that?
No, sir. You got it. You got it, Dr. Sir.
Yeah. And so we got to keep on grinding. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. If you have some comments, you have an opportunity to type in your comments on Facebook, and I would like for you to do that. And that way I'll make sure I read your comments. It's just great to have an opportunity to have this too. We got several other people beginning to join us now. We have Phoenix Q Brown joining us, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Peter Turner, She's been on the show. She's joining us at this time. Thank you so much. And I'm going to wave at you as well to make sure we give you a wave to let you know we appreciate you joining us. This is something we must be able to address. These owners got to step out. Not trying to send them out there. It makes the, make it safe for players and coaches and all those individuals to say something if you're not, you know, a Black American. But the owners, it is 32 owners and not neither one of them are Black. And, Coach, I want to kind of throw this out, and we're going to move to another topic. What's your thoughts in regard, and we had a conversation about this, NFL players, we want to see changes because everywhere else we're asking for changes. We're taking statues down. We're taking flags down. Is it possible that those players for the NFL come together, and what you, I just want your thoughts on here, and demand that we have a Black commission? What do you think about that?
I'm with that totally, Dr. Smith. With the power heads at the NFL, you know, they run the league, like you said, if they come together and want a change. It's about wanting a change. Now us as the people can want all we want, but they're not our bosses. We just watch them on TV. So if they want a change, I think it will be done. But a lot of changes like I feel like if the players don't like their managers, their owners, they can make changes, get changes done. People have a voice, and people have the power right now. Right now is the time. It's the time, Dr.
Yeah, right now is the time. And that's what we said. Everybody has to reveal what's in their heart for us to change like we want change to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. We got to realize we didn't get here overnight, and we're not going to be successful bringing everybody together, and equality can exist, and no racism will be existing, no racism, in education, in business, in life in general. You know, we're making reforms and changes in the police department, and we're charging those individuals, and we want that to happen. We want to see that, but we also want it to begin to trickle up a little bit more, because we ought to have an opportunity to purchase, and it shouldn't be a limit where we can't even purchase an NFL team, or to the point Michael Jordan owned the NBA team, but we should. There's enough money where, but if we've been held with a certain amount of money, that's what we're talking about. Not being able to get up there and get to the top, it is not equal, and we know it's not equal. But we can't say it can't be equal. But it might take 30 years to begin to get the ownership of these NFL teams and more ownerships in NBA teams. Any kind of ownership in MLB, Major League Baseball. If you notice, out of all the group, Major League Baseball is quietly have said nothing. You had a couple of players option out not to participate. They haven't said anything because, you know, the lead is made up. The lead is made up of probably 80% of the majority race baseball. So we got to have changes at all levels. Don't leave just to football and basketball, because it's majority Black and make up. Yeah. We got to have change all the way around. That's why I say it got to come from the heart. And I want to thank Mr. Archie over down in Lowndes County down there, one of the cohorts down there. He's the principal at one of the high schools. Thank you for joining us. We also have to just mention that Phoenix Q Brown is joining us as well. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to continue to move forth again. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192, which is Talking Sports Plus. We're real excited about it. Trying to get that tongue untied right quick. All right, Coach, we're going to look at a couple more topics, and we're going to kind of move this thing around. I wanted to talk a little bit about Cam Newton, not very long, not to cut him off. Everybody said I got my New England Patriots hat, so I don't not like it, but I like to make it. And the impact of Cam Newton to the New England Patriots. What impact, Coach, you think by them signing Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback, because Jerry Stidham wasn't going to be able to do it. What's your thoughts on that? What kind of impact will he be for the New England Patriots?
Big time, Dr. Swift. That they won't miss a beat. You know, Cam, you know, and Cam is shined upon almost in the NFL as not being a top-tier quarterback. You know, people look at the season he had when they went, I think it was 16-1 or 15-2, and went to the Super Bowl and lost because of his lackluster play. But I think Cam is capable. Cam will get New England to the level that Brady had them on. I really think he will. That's a big move for New England. They were sitting there waiting on it. They waited. They were real patient, and they got him. Yeah, a lot of other people could have got Cam. I don't care what nobody says. A lot of other people could have got it. They did it. Cam is on New England right now. They will be a contender next year. They will be a contender with their defense.
Exactly. And with the addition of Cam, it's going to be an impact for the Patriots. No, they might have had all the weapons last year, but sometimes you have a quarterback that has something to prove. And we know what kind of player Cam is. You know, he always stretched his shirt on when he scored, and that was Superman, that 6'5", 240-250-pound body. Yes, it's 31 years old, but he's still young compared to Brady, who's 43, or compared to Drew Brees, who's 41, compared to Aaron Rodgers, who's, if I'm not mistaken, 37, 38. So he's still young, so we look for some impact. All right, the next thing we want to focus on, Coach White, quick is about Colin Kaepernick. What team you think will sign him to start off a training camp? Because after Roger Goodell said that, you know, he apologized and he do everything. They said they're gonna do everything to make sure make sure Colin is on the team. What team you think he will sign, or maybe he won't sign? What do you think, Coach?
Dr. Smith, that's tough. With Colin Kaepernick sitting out the league as long as he did, it's going to be tough for him to get back into the state he was in before he left. Colin Kaepernick wasn't a bad quarterback, went to the Super Bowl, lost, but was good enough to get his team there. He played at a high level. Colin Kaepernick has been out the league at least 3 to 4 years. Is it 3 to 4, Dr. Smith?
Yeah, 4 years.
It's 4 years. That's a long time. For you to be a quarterback, that's just like playing basketball. If I sit out for 4 years and don't touch a basketball, and I can go out and shoot a little, but when it comes game time and they expect me to play at a high level and I don't perform at the level I did once I left, you would get a backlash. So it's a whole lot. It's a lot more pressure on Kaepernick now than it was then. So that's going to be big. But he deserves a shot. I still think Colin Kaepernick is better than some of the quarterbacks that are backup quarterbacks in the NFL. So we'll see how that goes. I think he'll go out there. He's going to play hard. He's going to prove to them that he's ready for the game. But he has to look at he has been off for 4 years. So we'll see, Dr. Smith. Like I said, he will get a shot.
And this will really show what's in the hearts of the owners of the NFL team, the signing of Colin Kaepernick. I want everybody to keep it in mind. We're moving toward, you know, we're trying to move toward equality in our professional players, our professional sports. And just because of what happened 4 years ago and now what's happening now, we really don't know the thinking of a lot of those owners, because they got speaking out. A lot of people, because of when they see the movement, they don't see the movement as being what they wanted to be, meaning of Cajun Rage. I know there's some of them that's coming there as a part of it and pushing forth, and got some speaking the right words right now because they parrot what you're saying. Now, really, truly, the owners are not parroting anything you're saying. Parrot can nothing you say. What they're doing is sitting back. Now, them sitting back, that tells you they're not ready to allow Colin to come back in the league. That's my opinion. I might be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because he's capable of any backup quarterback. Do the owners want that in their locker room? I don't know. I just feel that they had the last 4 years to do it. I don't think it's enough pressure, because they want to even speak out on the movement. They won't speak out what's going on. So do you think they really, really want to hire this person that might cause the light to be on their organization? I want you to think about that, but that's just my opinion. I just don't think they're ready to hire him. I don't think they're ready to give him a chance. They can talk about the teams open to give him a tryout, but I think it goes a lot bit more than that. Those owners may not be ready. I hadn't heard one to step up in support of the movement. That's why I keep going back to this. I want you to keep it in mind. All right, Coach, we're going to move our agenda to Morehouse. Morehouse canceled their fall sports due to COVID-19. Now, we're going to talk about some COVID-19. Will this action lead to other colleges doing the same thing if we continue to get these spikes? It was said that in the next 2 weeks is crucial for everything, for schools, for football, for basketball that they're trying to restart up on July the 31st. The next 2 weeks is crucial. Was that a good idea for Morehouse to do this, Coach? And this is a historical black college and university that plays in the SIAC, which is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Give me your thoughts on that, Coach.
Well, Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this. Some HBCUs can't do what Morehouse did. I'm going to say that. It's a lot of money go through Morehouse, and a lot of HBCUs don't think it. Morehouse can take a hit like this when you got alumni, as they do, that gives back to their school like they do. So Morehouse taking a hit like this is not reluctant as a A&M or Alabama, too. I know at A&M and Alabama State, they're just telling you, we going to do mandatory masks on campus. And as of right now, we're looking at the season ticket holders to be the tickets, the season tickets at the game. So, like I'm saying, you're looking at an educational HBCU. And a HBCU that's known for sports. So Alabama State, A&M, Southern, Grambling, they run their school. Their sports run their school. That's where the majority of their money comes from. So it would be hard for them to stay above the water, Dr. Smith, and do that. Now, Morehouse educational school. Not even because you can play football if you want to. We got a football team. You can go out there if you want to. We ain't studying it. Morehouse ain't studying it. They in them books. We're a little different. We're a little different than Alabama State, Alabama A&M, Miles. And Tuskegee's up on their top tier of that they can take a hit because of their alumni. A lot of HBCUs, alumni look strong on the outside when they're showing up for the games at the tailgates and everything. But those people ain't giving to their alumni fees. Have the vote say play no alumni fees. Morehouse got jokers paying for kids' scholarships. I'm talking about the numbers they're paying for. What they got just paid for the doctor paid for the whole graduate class loan. So that's a whole different story there about the thing. So right there shows you the amount of money that Morehouse has in this program. When a random guy, a random Morehouse grad, came to the graduation and told the kids their loans have been zeroed out. So that's amazing right there. I've yet to see that at Alabama A&M. I have yet to see that at A&M. I have yet to see that. So for a guy to do that, they probably can take a hit. And they're not even concerned about it, no doubt. Them guys, you know, the kids might transfer that play sport, but they're not concerned about it. That's not a big issue at the school. Education, it comes first at Morehouse University.
And that's where it should be for all institution of learning. Education should be first. I don't care if you're high school, middle school, elementary, and college. Sports shouldn't be the priority because you're amateur. And that's one thing. I know everybody say, well, coach, you might not be right about it, but I'm telling you that's the way it is. Now, just add on to what coach saying, it depends on the university, and some may not have a choice. I want you to hear me. Some is not going to have a choice. Prime example. Some information there on Southern University. They're optimistic about the season, but they may have to revise their schedule, a 2020 football schedule, because of COVID-19. Because they following the guidelines, they estimate they can only put in 50% of the capacity in these games. And you have to practice social distance. This is just one of the requirements that are being followed. So instead of them being averaged out 20,000 individuals in their stadium for each of their home games, they're only going to be able to average 7,500. They're not going to make it. It's going to be hard. They're going to try, but it's going to be a struggle. The hit don't come this year, the hit come next year. You're going to be put in the hole for next year. And one of the things we, Coach and I, we talked about previously is that it's good to make a decision. I applaud Morehouse for making the decision because financially they're not going to be able to function and be able to do what they need to do coming up in 2020 because of COVID-19. They don't want to take the chance. I give them the A-plus for having some tight lower joints down there, and I'm going to leave it like that to go and make that decision. It ain't the most important thing. Academic is important. They're not going to be the only school. Just remember, Morehouse is a Division II school for historical black colleges. You're going to have PWIs that are smaller, NAIA that are not going to be able to complete a season. They're not going to be able to have a season. But they're going to wait till August to make the decision. And it's not going to work. It'll be a little bit too late. So they're going to have to make the decision. Other schools, the statement is, will other schools follow? It's going to be several other schools going to follow Morehouse. It's going to be, don't think they're the only one, because just they looked at their budget, the same budget they have probably at Tuskegee University. And it's to operate the sports now. The school still can go function because you're still going to pay your tuition. You're still going to pay your money, but to operate the sports and all the other sports that goes along with it now. Y'all got to remember, football carries a lot. If you're only getting half of it, you're not going to be able to carry it. You're only going to get half in basketball because they're not going to be able to function at that level. Morehouse is up to hit again. I applaud them at Morehouse College, to make that decision that we're not going to be financially sovereign to function for the rest of, so they canceling all their fall sports. They're going to see how it's going to be for spring sports. But remember, the football brought money in, and for both schools, bring money in for your other sport. So if you're not having any game, you made the decision to kind of cancel out sports for 2021. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you have to make a decision early. You can't let it where people drive you because they want to see this. Financially, you have to make that decision. And all the time, academic is always first. And we're going to say that at Compton from Smith Way Production. Academic is number one. And we want you to focus your children. If they're in sports, the academic got to be first because they have mandatory criteria and requirements. And we got to preach that. Got to preach it every day to them. You have to go do your work. Athlete, I don't care how good you are and how you think you are. If you don't meet the academic requirements or the standards that mean the minimums, you will not be participating. And we got to keep it. So this is a money decision Morehouse has made. And I applaud them for making the decision. And many more are going to follow along in by August the 15th. We're going to be talking about it on this show, and we'll be giving you more names. Southern already seeing problems. So if Southern having the problems, I know universities like Alabama A&M are going to have problems. I know that Alabama State going to have problems. because remember we did our tennis thing and the SWAC led the FCS, which is a football championship subdivision, which is all the schools that fall in Division I AA. Financially, Alabama State was fourth. Jackson State was number one. And they was putting in right at 17,000 over five games, average out per game, 17,000. So I'm saying 20, you got to cut it in half because of COVID-19. Not going to be able to function, guys. That's the real thing. All right, Trey, we're going to pick this thing up. We're going to move down to the decision of Bethune-Cookman. Bethune-Cookman making the decision to move from the MEAC, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, which is the Historical Black College and University Conference, to the SWAC, the Southwest Athletic Conference. I want to get your thoughts on that, Coach, and that's going to be pretty much the last thing we're going to take up tonight because we're almost at 9 o'clock. Coach, what's your thoughts on Bethune-Cookman officially letting the SWAC know they want to be a member in 2021? Besides Florida A&M. Give me your thoughts on that, Coach.
Big time move. I seen a little article about that. They was talking about both Bethune and Florida A&M. They said they may be stuck in a clause right now where they have to play a MEAC schedule for the next 4 years. So we're going to see how that goes, Dr. Smith. They was complaining about that the other day. But for them to be in the SWAC is big time. Like I said, I was mapping out the SWAC the other day, and the only thing I could do was fly Alcorn to that western side, and roll from there. But dude, that makes it competitive on both sides. You still got Alabama State, A&M, Bethune-Cookman, FAMU, Jackson State, and Mississippi Valley on one side. And that west, Dr. Smith, they just give you a woo. Because they're going to beat each other. No other way. They are going to beat each other with Alcorn, Grambling, and Southern on the same side. They will beat each other. So those will be three anticipated games of the year. Alcorn still will play, you know, they're all, you know, all come ground. You know, I'm just doing a mapped out scenario, throwing some out there. Because I don't know, they might go north-south. So we don't know what they might do. So I'm just anticipating it. Like I said, every game is almost in the magnitude of a HBCU classic. Every game. When both of them teams get in. Because people will travel to see these Florida schools because you don't see them all the time. You don't see the big bands that they bring. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go to the FAMU and the Bethune-Cookman football game. The first time I went to that game, it had a bigger magnitude than the Magic City Classic as far as people. They didn't sell tickets the day of for sold out. So they had the Florida, in Orlando, they had the Citrus Bowl sold out. So I've never seen anything like that. Like, you know, we see the Magic City, but, you know, we can get in there. You know what I'm saying, Dr. Smith? But for that game right there, that magnitude, I didn't know it was another game that was doing what the Magic City Classic was doing to Birmingham. That's just being a little kid. Now, you know, now I got out, I see the Bayou Classic on TV and all that now. But back then, when I saw the Florida Classic at that level, where they didn't sell tickets the day of, I said, that's big time. So for them two schools to be coming in the SWAC, it's like, how long? Why it took y'all so long to get here? That's what I'm asking. But
exactly.
That's it. That's big, Dr. Smith. Two big pickups. Very excited. We get this COVID out the way and get us a season going. Let's roll, Dr. Smith. I'm ready to roll it. Not all I need is the SWAC championship to come back to Birmingham, Alabama. That's what I need now.
And that's a good chance that might happen because they're building a new stadium up there, the Protective Stadium, I believe. They have a name on it, but they're working on it. So it's come along. They had to stop a little work recently, but they picked it back up. So we will have a new stadium attached to the Jefferson City Center or Jefferson Complex. So it's going to be big up there now. I really thank everybody. Thank Coach Edwards for joining us tonight. We had an awesome time. And for those people on Instagram, thank you so much, as well as on Facebook. Shout out again to Miss Jazzy. Jazzy Jazz 32, Archie Curtis down in Alamance County, B. Hendricks, author Nicole Brown, and Tony Rudolph. Thank you so much for joining us. We got about 32 seconds on that setup. Again, you know, our hashtag is, and we want to always say it, is stay at home and stay alive. Hashtag One Life Matter. When we're dealing with COVID-19, we have those other individuals on Facebook, and we want to give them a shout out. I want to start with Tabitha Jenkins, Ladedra Wilson. I'm sorry, my Glad Earl Presley. Thank you, Earl. Tyree Hall, Marvin Lala Smith. Thank you so much. Portia Phoenix, Andre Brian's Wing Brinson. Thank you, Andre, so much. Marquita Turner joins us, and the many others that is in our where our listeners worldwide. We'll give a shout out to a particular 5 countries that are listening. We have 18, but these 5 numbers are large, and that's here in the United States. You know, we're being heard throughout the United States, the United Kingdom. So glad to be heard through the United Kingdom, Dominican Republic. They're listening down in the Caribbean Islands area. Canada, which is north of the United States, thank you for listening as well, in Mexico. So we have listeners there, but we have many others all over the world. But I want to give a shout out because I look at my statistical area, that numbers are high. The stats are high where they're listening. More people are listening than other places, but we have people listening in those other 13 countries, and we thank each and every one. You've been awesome tonight. We're about to close this thing down. I appreciate Coach Edwards for joining us and being here tonight. It's always good to have it. Everybody have a happy, as best you can, 4th of July, celebrating Independence Day. I know we're doing a movie and everything, but everybody's going to cook some ribs and go 4th of July. They're going to do all the things right there. I'm going to say people will do it. I'm not saying everybody's going to do it, but you will do it. If you choose not, that's all right. But sometimes it's good at trying to get back to normalcy. That's some normalcy right there. We also want to tell you and give you 2 of the hashtags. The other 2 hashtags that we always try to talk about is hashtag keep on grinding, and that's what the Smith Wave Production is doing. Hashtag communicate for understanding, and we want you to keep in mind, we're not going to have a show the rest of the week. We're going to come back Monday with Talk of Real to You, and we're going to be focusing on still social unrest and the COVID-19, dealing with America being in crisis. We're going to continue to talk about it. We're busting at the seam, and we got a part 4 to this. Not to this, but to the Monday night show that starts at 7:30 Central Standard Time, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you have the call in, but check us out on Facebook. I will post it. I want you to be a part of it. I'm going to tag you because you're joining, and you'll get a chance to get an opportunity to see that, a flyer that come out. So we want to get you on Monday night, and you can talk about how we busting at the seam and what we need to continue to do to have equality and continue with our justice that we need, whether in the police department or just in just plain old life. And that's what that show is all, just plain old life issues that we're going to discuss. Plain old life issues we're going to talk about. Have a great weekend, holiday weekend. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Wear your mask. Wear your gloves. I recommend gloves, too. Some people say you don't have to wear, but wear your gloves. And also practice social distance, 6 feet. Make sure you stay away. And also, you keep your gatherings to 10 and under. I know at one time here in Alabama, is if you're family, you can be as big as you want to be, but we had families, we had a family of 30 to contract COVID-19 when they got together. So we're going to have to kind of limit it and try to realize that this is nothing to play with, the numbers being spiked, and the 4th of July is going to be one of the weekends that's going to tell a story for the next 2 or 3 weeks, whether we're going to see some football, whether we're not going to see the football, whether we're going to see the end of the NBA basketball season, or whether or not. Let's make sure we follow and do it, follow the guidelines. Don't say what nobody else is doing. Do it for yourself. Every one of your leaders I hear is in opposition to closing back down, saying, well, people ought to be able to do it themselves. We got to hold each other accountable. And that's what we have to do because we want to save lives. One life matter. Hashtag one life, one life matter. So have an awesome weekend. Check you out on Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to have an awesome time. We're going to make it do what it do. Talking Real to You is the name of the show. Talking about just plain old life issues and us. My guest and my co-host going to be here sharing that thoughts on it. So have an awesome weekend. And I get to this point, I always tell you, this is where I am now. You know, it's over with. The night is watching this show, so it's like the game is over with. We walk away with a victory. And I always tell you, and you tell your family members that you love them. Hug them. Tell them how much you love them. And this is from me to you. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome
chain, and when I die, put a crown on top of my name.